This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's a blessing to be share this morning. Shame David's not feeling well, so most of my family is not here. Shame that. So the other night he was very nauseous and so he vomited once or twice in the afternoon. So we decided let's not take a risk because his bed is a high bed. You know, it's one of those that's up there so that he can still play underneath. Got a very small room. So the one time when I wasn't home, Shema, he was ill and then he vomited from the top. I said, this is not a good story. Sorry, it is not pleasant. But in any case, especially when Erna was caught in the crossfire. But anyway, so we said, let's avoid that. And we put him just on the floor in our room with a little container next to him, which never works. But anyway, we just put it there. And then when Emily realized David's going to be sleeping in our room, she said, Daddy, my legs hurt. And my tummy hurts and my head hurts and my arms are hurting. Alles is hier. So suddenly she felt very, very ill. Obviously wanting to also stay in our room for the night. But in any case, so we said, should we go to the hospital? It sounds really serious, you know. And she said, no, she doesn't want to go to the hospital. Anyway, so hopefully he's going to feel better soon. It's a blessing and a privilege to share the word this morning. If you missed last week, I really feel that was a significant word for us that Michal shared. The word actually, he shared around the entering the rest of God. And that word came through on the Monday. He wasn't there, but on the Monday at intercession, actually, the Lord gave a couple of words around entering the rest of God. And not only in the holidays, but as a lifestyle. So I want to really encourage you to get the download if you missed that one. Let's just pray briefly. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that your word is life to all who hear it, Lord. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And this morning it would divide between soul and spirit, Lord. It will cut and make a division between what is life and what is death, what is darkness, what is light, what is the flesh and what is the spirit, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you speak your word into our hearts and that it nourishes us and that encourages us and it transforms us into the image of Christ, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the end, we're going to spend, I think, if we have time, we're going to spend a few moments just sharing and praying together. I want to really encourage you, to start thinking about something that you're really thankful for this past year, and something, just a testimony that you would like to share with somebody next to you. So I'm giving you a heads up. That's nice, huh? So you got about half an hour, so nobody's going to be listening to me. Everybody's going to be thinking, okay, what can I share? But so I think, I'm hoping there's going to be too many to share up front, so that's why I'm going to, maybe I thought we'll do it in pairs or threes. All right. But let's start. Let's have a look at Psalm 37. This is the King David writing, and he often uses these agricultural pictures. But so let's read it first. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And I want to focus on that one, that part there that says, feed on his faithfulness. And often in Scripture we see references to, you know, agriculture or planting or sowing or sheep, stuff like that. I want to get sidetracked, but that's not necessarily a compliment, you know that, eh? Being compared to a sheep. In any case, let's not get distracted. There's a good reason why the Lord does that, I believe. So it says here, feet of his faithfulness. And he, if you think about Psalm 23, David writes about the Lord being our shepherd and leading us quiet waters and green pastures to places of rest, places of nourishment. But if you just quickly break this down a little bit, it says feed on his faithfulness. And if we think it in the context of, you know, looking back on the year and looking back on this maybe past season, and in the context of agriculture, now think of it as like a sheep that's looking for, or that's wanting to eat. If he wants to feed, especially if he's grazing out there, firstly they need to find the right stuff to eat, right? And almost look for it. Or it's almost, there's a searching that has to happen to find the right stuff to eat. And with feeding on the Lord's faithfulness, it's also relevant, you know. In the kind of hectic life that we're in society that's very rushed, we often miss that. We miss that, the goodness of God. We lose sight of it. And we there's such an important habit, such a crucial, deliberate discipline to actually keep on looking for and finding and focusing on the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God in our lives. And then not only do they have to search for it and look for it, they have to identify it, the right stuff. And you know, when you have children, you kind of you are aware that there's some stuff out there that they can eat and there's some stuff that they shouldn't eat. So you normally just say, no, you know, if it looks like a mushroom, don't touch it, you know, don't unless you got a PhD in what's good mushrooms or not. You know, so don't eat the mushrooms in the garden, you know, type of thing. Same with berries and stuff. But Josh, they always want to try, eh? In any case. But we have to identify and recognize that faithfulness of God and that goodness of God. I'm just running through one or two things. And then specifically also to get proper nourishment. And it says they're feeding, which is such a actually powerful word, referring to nourishment as well. Strengthening, nourishment. And for that to happen, it can't just be a fleeting thing. It can't just be a quick swallow or something. That chewing on it and mulling over it and meditating on it is such an important aspect of it as well. And in other words, again, being deliberate about it, about meditating on God's goodness, meditating on his faithfulness, thinking about it, let it run through your head. Isn't that a good thing to have running through your head? Scripture says that we should fix our mind and our thoughts on good things. So I want to look at an example in Joshua chapter 4 where the Lord's actually helping. He's actually helping the nation of Israel to get into this healthy culture, healthy habit. And you can actually see it through Scripture how the Lord does this with the nation of Israel. You know, He introduces them or actually commands them to keep certain festivals. You know, these are the important festivals. And most of them have to do with remembering what God has done. Like, let's just take the Passover, where they used to celebrate and remember that where God brought them out of Egypt. And apparently still it's a big thing, you know, the Passover feast and Feast of Tabernacles is also called. But now, I mean, obviously that's turned into us celebrating Jesus that has died and that through he's taking us out of bondage, he's redeemed us. The angel of death passes over us because of the blood of Jesus, etc. So, But let's look at this one. Also, another way that God helps the nation of Israel to start, you know, get into this culture is he introduces himself often in the Old Testament. He says, I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, this is kind of remember what I did in those patriarchs' lives. You know, he refers back, I am the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. I am the, and he kind of reintroduces himself and he helps the guys to remember, wow, yes, this is the Lord that did all these miracles for us. That, but let's read this one from Joshua chapter 4. Just quick context. They're crossing over into the promised land, right? So they just went through the river, Jordan, and massive miracle that the Lord did right there. And what happened is the priests had to go in front of the nation. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which was where the presence of the Lord dwelled, and they walked in front. And there was this massive river, and it was in flood. So it wasn't just a stream, you know, like some would say, some critics, was a proper river, and at that time of the year, probably in flood as well. And they walked, and the Lord just said they must walk through the river. And once again, it's one of those moments that I think, what must have been going on in the head of that first priest, the first one? Because the Lord didn't stop the water until their feet were in the water. You know, it's not like, okay, maybe it was breaking a bit and the momentum was too much, but when their feet got into the water, the Lord stopped the water upstream and just dammed up there, and the whole nation could cross over on dry land. And this was just, let's read here. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So what they did is they packed a massive pile of these 12 big stones right in the middle of the river, and then one on the nearby as well. And the whole idea here was that, you know, if you're walking with your children or grandchildren years down the line, and they see, look at this big river, and there's this massive pile of rocks right in the middle. How did they get there? And how did they ask? And then he says, and you know, and when your children ask, then you can tell them what God did that day. You can testify of his goodness. You can remember what he has done. And this is such an important part of feeding off the faithfulness of God, is getting into the culture and a habit and just making it a lifestyle to build memorials or monuments of God's goodness. In other words, find a reason, don't have to find a reason, but when something happens, when a significant thing happens in your walk with God, make sure you make a way for yourself to remember that. And if you think about this, you know, it may be down the line, maybe years down the line, in a difficult time, maybe where there was tough times in the nation, you know, walking past that spot and seeing that monument and that memorial, wouldn't that be encouragement to the nation, the miracles that God has done in the past? So I want to really encourage us, you know, coming to the end of this year, take time out. We know 2 weeks ago or so when I was ministering, we spoke about taking stock of our growth. But I want to say, even more important than that, take time to meditate on his goodness and his faithfulness from this year. Take time to write stuff down. take time to maybe build a few memorials. For many of us, photos do the trick. But you can even take a little item or from that moment. I know some people that literally when they are in that moment, they realize, well, that God is doing something. That actually, afterwards, they just take something like a rock or a whatever, something that's going to last, and they just, you know, keep that and put it on a shelf somewhere to remind them of that day. So I want to really encourage us towards this year. You know, if you do have some time off now, take time to think. Take time to write down. Take time to maybe print out a photo or two. We don't print photos a lot anymore. But print out one or two and create a memorial of what God has done. And that will serve as a reminder down the line. Now, this is a surprise. Let's just check if Abigail is around. But yeah, so Anna is creating an album for her. And that's going to be one of just a gift that we're going to give to towards the end of the year. And she loves that kind of thing. But that in itself is a way to remember. It's a way to build a memorial. And you know, I found a bunch of our baby scans the other day. And for me, that especially the first one. You know, many of you have heard the story. But when we medically, it was impossible for us to have children. But when we got that first scan, that was like, wow, this is proof now. This is real. You know, God is a miracle worker. So those are the kind of things that one has to frame and put up, you know, and make a big deal over. Not only to testify, but there's such an important element of finding strength and encouragement in meditating on His goodness and remembering His faithfulness. Amen. And I want to challenge us as families, how are we building this into our family life? How are we making a habit of, you know, or do we have traditions that establish this culture in our family? You know, what I enjoy about our time of prayer with the family in the evenings is a big part of it is thanksgiving. And even if the children, you know, often they don't feel like praying, or they don't want to pray, or I'm tired, or something like that, then I say, is there one thing that you want to thank God for today? You know, I don't want to force them to pray, but I just say, just think of one thing that you're thankful for. And then often, it's not only one thing. And often it's just, there's more things once they start giving thanks. Okay. I read a quote, I think it was Jeremy Riddle this week, which I don't have the whole quote for you, but basically what he was saying is that for us to, it's so critical for us to stay in awe of God. Stay amazed at who He is. And what he said is it's actually work. One has to work at it. To stay in awe of God. To continually, you know, remind ourselves and continually say, yo, isn't this incredible what God has done? Isn't He amazing? And just to continually kind of let it mull over in our heads that He is good. And that we stay in awe and amazed and in wonder of who He is. And that creates that place of intimacy also, because we want to worship Him and we want to draw near to Him and we want to we enjoy His presence. As we read it before, we delight ourselves in Him. Okay, let's go on. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To console, it starts with, you know, the Lord has anointed me. And it just speaks about the of Jesus and his anointing, but also I believe that that same blessing is there for us. But this is what he says about Christ and what he does in life. He says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is the key. This whole exercise is not necessarily only for us to be encouraged, but it's for him to be glorified. I mean, for him to be to receive all honor and glory and praise. But I want to point out this part where he says that he gives us the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You know, we live in a society where stuff like depression and mental illness is so prevalent, more than at any time in history. And I believe this is a key for us, is to receive that garment of praise. Because he gives it us, but we still need to wear it, right? We still need to put it on. And that, I believe, is a conscious decision to say, today, I want to put on the garment of praise. And I like the imagery there, because it's like you're wearing it, okay? I want to put this thing on, I'm going to wear it, it's going to be visible in my life. I want to be praising God. I want to give praise to him. And in the context of the day there, what you wore and your cloak, your robe, basically said a lot about your identity, said a lot about your status in society and your office or your position or your rank. And you know, that's why the significance of us receiving a robe from in the spirit, the royal robe, is very significant. That exchange that happens at the cross where he takes off of filthy rags of sin, that identity that we have in sin and death, and he takes that and he gives us a royal robe, the Christ, the robe of Christ, the Son, the robe of a child of God. And in this case, yeah, it's the identity of praise, of being somebody that praises, of putting on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. I want to encourage you. And I felt there's some here this morning that you are right now in a place where you are really struggling. And maybe you're facing some kind of challenge, or maybe it's just, I just overwhelmed. But I felt specifically that some that need to choose this morning to this, even in the face of the worst situation, to stand still and trust God to find, to recognize, to see his goodness in your life, to see his faithfulness. The thing is with the goodness and faithfulness of God is that it's always there. Even when we can't see it, even when we don't notice it, his goodness and his faithfulness remains. In Psalm 23, he says, your goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And it always reminds me, you know, of the first time I went on mission to India. Oh, it was really an incredible experience. Those days, we tried to save money a lot, but, you know, we're traveling the cheapest class on the train, and we didn't take domestic flights. In India, the first time we went, we traveled by train from Mumbai to Chennai. Do yourself a favor and look on the map. That was about 2.5 days on the train across the continent, the subcontinent. And and it wasn't first class, it was cattle class, you know. So it was really interesting. But it was an incredible experience. I'm not going to go into detail, and I'm going to grow some of you out. But yeah, it was really incredible. A lot of ministry opportunities on the train. But the one thing we did is that towards the end, we took a day off to just rest. And we thought we were going to get some gifts for our prayer partners. And we went shopping, I think it was in Bangalore or somewhere. But in any case, so we We saw this guy. He'd made this beautiful little chess set carved it out of wood. It was really incredibly done. It was really incredibly skillfully done. And I made the rookie error of actually, I said, listen, can I have a look at it? Because I was just so amazed by the skill it must have taken to carve this. It wasn't big, it was small, so very fine detail. Not a clever move. Because then I actually looked at it, and I was like, sure, I complimented him. I said, that's really amazing. And I said, I don't want to buy it. I'm just interested. It was just cool to see, you know. But he didn't get that bit. So me paying attention and showing interest, I promise you this, for the rest of the day, this guy was like my shadow. Yeah, just yeah. I kid you not. I couldn't believe how persistent he was. And then we would go into another shop and he would wait at the door. And we'd come out, he's there, you know. He wants to make this sale. Shame, man. Any case, he stuck with us literally the whole day, I think until we got onto the bus or something. That's how what the goodness and faithfulness of the mercy of God are like, isn't it? Can't shake it off, guys. His goodness and mercy sticks with us. Even when we don't see it, even when we're not aware, we cannot get rid of the goodness and mercy of God. It follows us. It's there when you get up in the morning. It's there when you're going out, when you're coming in. His faithfulness, His goodness and mercy follow us like a shadow all the days of our lives. And I want to encourage you, if you're in that place of heaviness and darkness and despair, I believe there's grace this morning to stand still and to clear your head and to trust God to see His faithfulness, to see His goodness in your life. Even when there's lots going on, He remains good and He remains faithful. Let's go on a bit. Okay, so we put on the garment of praise. Especially for the spirit of heaviness. Now, I just want to read a short scripture from 1 Samuel. The quick background here is that David and his men were off to war. They came back from a successful campaign, but when they got back home, they found that their city had been raided, that all their families and wives and children had been taken captive by the enemy. And apparently it was quite recent that, you know, they were taken away. And obviously, massive crisis. All their families are in danger of being killed, and even worse stuff happening to them. And now the guys are not happy with David because now obviously he's to blame. He's the leader, so he's to blame. And let's quickly read here, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So these guys now blaming him. Everybody's upset, and there's no man or parent more upset than having his family in danger. Okay, let me promise you that. And so he was seeing where these guys want to take him out now. Okay, they want to stone him. They want to basically bury him under a big pile of rocks and make sure he's dead. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then just after this, but do you see that it's not David was strengthened by the Lord. He strengthened himself. He actually made the effort. He went to God and he strengthened himself. And I believe building memorials, remembering, looking back and thanking God and celebrating his faithfulness and finding strength, that, you know, that strengthening ourselves also happens when we look back at those memorials And we look back at his goodness and we look back at his faithfulness. That's part of strengthening ourselves in the Lord, is looking back at how good he is and how faithful he is. And actually, one of my favorite bits of this story is just after this, of this account, it's just after this where he inquires, the scripture says, he inquires of the Lord about what to do. And this just boggles my mind, this scenario, because David, King David, is probably the greatest warrior, definitely in the Bible, maybe the greatest warrior that ever lived. Okay, so he had army, he led armies like few nations have seen since. They had control over a massive part of the globe. And he, this was his thing. He's a man of war. He was an incredibly successful soldier and general, right? And this guy, I mean, surely this is his thing. Chasing after bad guys and killing them. This is his thing, right? He can do this. You know, saving his nation, or you know, going to war on behalf of his people, that's what he does. But look, this is his expertise. This is his identity to a large extent. But he doesn't just assume anything. This is not part of the sermon. This is just a side note, maybe for somebody this morning. But he takes time aside. He strengthens himself in the Lord. And then he asks God, what should we do? He doesn't make any assumptions. He doesn't even assume that they have to pursue these guys. He says, Lord, should we pursue them? Will we overtake them? And then the Lord says, go. Pursue them. And you will reach, you know, the Lord actually gives them a promise and says, everything will be restored. And in other words, nothing, no life will be lost. Everybody will come back home safely. But that moment where he chooses to go to God, even in a situation where most of us here will think, that's a no-brainer. He doesn't do that. He stops. He strengthens himself. And he hears from God, what should we do? Maybe that's a word for somebody that's praying about something for next year. Maybe somebody that's having decisions to make, choices to make. Take some time out. Don't make assumptions. Don't rely on your strength and your intellect or your degrees or your qualifications or even your experience. Take time out to hear from God. Amen. Take time out to seek his face, to read the word, to inquire of the Lord as David did. And that could mean asking other believers, asking people to pray with you, asking a small group to pray and fast with you. But take time out to do that. Amen. Great. But David chooses to strengthen himself in God. And I believe part of that is remembering his faithfulness, remembering his goodness, building those memorials, and looking back on celebrating them. You know, every times when we are in financial difficulty or when there's pressure financially or there's pressure on certain things. It's such a blessing for me and Anna to sit and say, yeah, but you remember that time and remember what God did and that moment. Or, when the pressure's on a certain situation, like we're busy buying a car, we're trusting God to sort that stuff out. But, there's still stress that comes in. There's still worry that comes in. And then I have to just say, but listen, do you remember how many times God has blessed us with this exact same thing? Do you remember how many times God has been faithful? And what a blessing it is for us to celebrate that and remember that and remind ourselves. And I found it's not only good enough to just remember, but that chewing on and that mulling over and that thinking over it is actually very important. Because otherwise those worry thoughts just come back in right away. But to choose, let me just put those little thoughts aside. In fact, today I'm just gonna meditate on this thing. His goodness, his faithfulness. How those miracles that he has done. I just feel there's somebody here this morning that feels that your testimony isn't powerful, that your stories of God's miracles, that there's not, that you don't have those crazy stories. And I just feel this is for somebody specific, that that's a lie of the devil. That's a deception. Each of us, if you are born again, that's the first miracle. That's actually the greatest miracle that you and I will see this side of eternity, is the miracle of salvation. So wherever you find yourself, don't allow the enemy to convince you that you don't have testimonies, you don't have a powerful story. In fact, make an effort to sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of stuff that you've already forgotten. Write them down. And even I had to sit down and write down my salvation testimony at one point, because I thought, I was never a drug addict or a Satanist or something, you know. I don't really have a cool salvation story. And the Holy Spirit almost rebuked me and said, no, that's a lie. You were heading to hell just like everybody else. Your destination was the pit of hell just like everybody else. No less, there's no lesser miracle of you being saved from darkness into light, from eternal death into eternal life. It's a massive miracle. That's the greatest miracle. And I had to go and ask the Holy Spirit to remind me, but how did it happen? What was going on? I was quite young. So it was good for me to sit down and think, what happened? What was happening in my heart? What were the key things that happened in my life to bring me to that place? So maybe that's for somebody here specifically. Let's close with Psalm 103. Verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I think this is also King David writing here, and he says, he's speaking to his soul. He says, listen, even when you're feeling depressed, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's speaking to his soul, because our souls get out of shape, guys. The emotions, the stuff is all up and down, right? So important for us to be able to speak to our souls. Okay, listen, calm down. I'm taking charge now. Soul can't be in charge now. I'm choosing to bless the Lord. I'm choosing to praise him. I'm choosing to lift up his name. I'm choosing to not to forget all his benefits. Not to forget what he has already done. And then he starts to list all the stuff that God does and has done and will do. This is one of my favorite psalms. Bless the Lord, my soul. And then he says, don't forget. And he starts. And maybe that's something you need to do, is just to start listing. If you're struggling with negativity, or if you're struggling with, you know, cynicism, if you're a glass almost empty kind of person, deal with that thing by fixing your eyes on him, and remembering his goodness, remembering his faithfulness, choosing to establish memorials and monuments. Make a habit out of it. You'll teach your children to do the same. They like that kind of thing. They like telling stories. They like reminding themselves. You know, often I speak to the kids, you know, sometimes some of the amazing stuff that God did through their lives when they were small, like 2, 3, 4. So they tend to forget that stuff. And then we tell the stories and remember that time. You know, remember the time when you prayed for daddy and I was healed immediately. Remember that time when we prayed for that lady and she had a baby after 7, 8 years of infertility. You know, stuff like that. We speak about it with the children. Let's stand this morning. Encourage us. Actually, I said we're going to share, but so maybe If you've thought of something, I'm just going to make it very short, okay? So you can go and elaborate over coffee later. But I just actually want you just to mention one thing to the person next to you. One big miracle. Big or small, doesn't matter how you perceive it. But one thing that you know God did in your life this year that you are thankful for. Why don't you just take a moment to, if you're comfortable, to share with somebody next to you. I'd really appreciate that. That if you're not comfortable with that, that's also fine. But if you're able to do that, why don't you just take 2 minutes now. 1 minute. 1 minute is enough. 30 seconds each. And quickly, just mention one thing to somebody next to you, please. Thanks. Chance. Sorry, that was very short. I apologize. I'm glad that people are still wanting to talk. It's a good sign. So maybe afterwards at the coffee, please go more and go to share some more about this. We're gonna just worship God and just praise His name just for a few moments still with a specific song. But I wanna some specific people I want to pray for. Firstly, like I mentioned before, I feel there's somebody that is in a heavy situation, that is in a place of you're feeling overwhelmed. And I really feel that you need to just pray with somebody to help you to look to Him and to see His goodness, even in the chaos. So if you're bold enough, and I would really encourage you to do that, to afterwards we're going to be praying for people to please come forward. Love to pray with you. And then I feel there was somebody also that's got just it's like they have a massive mountain in front of them, and I don't know if it's a decision or a challenge or a illness or what it is, but I just see this huge obstacle, and I just feel God wants to give you His perspective again and allow you to see what He sees and allow you to see how great He is in relation to your mountain, okay? And I believe He wants to show you that it's actually, He's got it under control. So if that's you, also just at the end, actually while we're worshiping, why don't you come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you. If there's any other prayer need, I'm just going to pray and close and pray now, but as we're worshiping now, if you have any prayer need, please join us in the front. We'd love to just pray in agreement with you. If it's healing or whatever it is, God has made a way. Amen. And specifically, if you're here this morning and you don't have an assurance of your relationship with God, if you haven't yet experienced that greatest miracle that anybody can experience, that one of following Christ and turning around and repenting of your sin and deciding to follow Him and choosing to lay your life down, choosing to follow Him as Lord and Savior, choosing to relinquish control over your life. Just say, Lord, I want to follow you as Lord and King. I will repent of my sin. I want to follow you as Savior and King. If you have not made that decision, and you, this morning you know you need to make that decision, and you want to pray with somebody, I want to encourage you as we're worshiping now to come forward and we'd pray with you. Thank you so much. Father, we give you all honor and glory and praise. We look back over this year and over the years, and we stand in awe, Lord, of your goodness and your faithfulness. How great you are, Lord. We stand in awe of your, in wonder of who you are, Lord. This morning, as we worship now, even, thank you that you lift up every heaviness. Thank you that you remove yokes of bondage, of fear, and of heaviness in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you that for grace for us to fix our eyes upon you. Thank you for grace for us to build memorials, to put on the garment of praise. Thank you for grace for us to live lives of thanksgiving and praise and worship in awe of you, Lord. Let your name be glorified in our lives. Lord, as we thank you just even over these next weeks, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd remind us and help us to build memorials. Remind us of your miracles and your goodness and your faithfulness, so that we would strengthen ourselves, Lord, in you, God. That your name be glorified in our lives and through our lives, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, if you need prayer, please come forward. If you need to go, you're welcome to. If you need prayer, come to the front. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.